I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. November 22nd, 1963. My family lived in New York City. I wasn't even three, but it's my earliest memory. Okay, more of a sensation. I'm standing in front of the TV, halfway into my snowsuit. We never had the TV on in the middle of the day. Mom's in back of me, holding the zipper halfway up my little chest. But she's not zipping me up. She is frozen. She isn't speaking. And I remember struggling to see her face to get her attention, to find out why she wasn't responding to me. I've never forgotten that sensation of shock. Here's my mom with the details I can't recall.
You and your sister were already basically bundled up when the phone rang and somebody said, "Turn on your television," which is what I did. And that's when I sort of froze and almost forgot the two of you were there beginning to get overheated. So I felt we needed to get out. But I really didn't obviously want to leave. So I took my walk with you two around several blocks where there were cafes, one I remember clearly on Irving Place. I think it was 19th or 18th Street somewhere. And you could see through the window of the television screen. But, of course, there was no sound, so all I got was images. And they were pretty harrowing. So I made it the shortest walk ever, probably, for you guys, because I just wanted to get home.
If you were alive, even as a three-year-old, there's a good chance you know where you were when JFK was shot 50 years ago. Former Pennsylvania Senator Harris Wofford was in Ethiopia.
At the foot of Ntoto Mountain in Addis Ababa, where I was as a Peace Corps director and the Peace Corps representative to Africa, south of the Sahara.
Harris Wofford had been tapped by Kennedy to be the architect of the Peace Corps. He had worked on JFK's presidential campaign and also served as his special assistant on civil rights. But in November 1963, Wofford was in Ethiopia managing Peace Corps operations across Africa. And in the wake of the assassination, Wofford says Africans seemed to be in mourning with Americans.
Neighbors were coming to the Peace Corps volunteers' homes, houses or rooms, with food, with sympathy. It was amazing, the sense of, you know, a nationwide mourning and then an Africa-wide mourning. And then one realized, the Peace Corps particularly from all over the world, realized it was worldwide mourning for John Kennedy.
What was it about JFK that seemed to seduce a lot of Africans? What did they like about him all over the continent?
You know, I think they had learned enough about America over their history to have a hope that America was going to be optimistic, young, idealistic, can-do. There was a waiting for America to be represented by somebody that embodied youth and optimism and idealism.
Did you ever find yourself on the defensive with Africans who said, where are the rights for blacks in your country?
By then, the Kennedy strong speech and the bill asking for full civil rights was top of the agenda. By the time he was killed, anyone who was following events in America had heard that, you know, the March on Washington was this tremendous success and that the president was pleased with it. It would not have been if he had not already taken the big step of sending the civil rights bill up and given a talk that was used by Voice of America and every other form of communication to say that we were on the way to full civil rights in America.
Did you see Peace Corps as kind of a key part of JFK's foreign policy?
Well, yes, but the title of this show, The World, is the key, I think, to understanding John Kennedy, that his primary interest always was the world. That's why he responded. That's why extemporaneously he asked questions at the University of Michigan. Would you be willing to go and spend some years of your life in Ghana, as he pronounced it?
Ghana.
And he had about five rhetorical questions at 2 a.m. in the morning. It was in his mind and in his head. He didn't propose a Peace Corps. In some sense, the students there are taking a scroll around, 1,000 of them almost, signing, saying, yes, we would go if you form a volunteer corps. And he, hearing that, he turned to Sorensen, his speechwriter, and said, let's make a major speech proposing a Peace Corps, which they did in the Cow Palace of San Francisco. Yes, he saw the Peace Corps as a lot of different things, a Swiss knife with lots of different values. But I think the greatest value he had in it was reflected by what he said to me when I left the White House to go to Africa. He had just sworn in 300 Peace Corps teachers going to Ethiopia and another 500 going elsewhere who'd trained in Washington. And on the way in, he said, now this is Labor Day 1962. He said, you know, this Peace Corps is going to be really serious when it's 100,000 a year. And then in one decade, we'll have 1 million Americans who will have had firsthand experience serving in Asia, Africa, and Latin America.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. You called
it. And then at last, we'll have an intelligent foreign policy because there'd be a big constituency of people who understand the world.
Well, it's interesting because you referred to the Swiss Army knife metaphor. I mean, one blade in that knife that many say existed was, you know, put Peace Corps out there. It's a way of putting U.S. ideals out there into even the smallest villages in the world. When you were in Africa, did you feel you were kind of marketing the U.S.? To counter Soviet communist influence?
I think most Peace Corps volunteers and I tried to make it clear that that's not what we were doing. We were the first thing you learn, I think, as a Peace Corps volunteer is you better make it clear you're not there to either sell America or to make a country line up with America in the Cold War. You need to make clear that you're there to learn a lot and to contribute what you can. And I think the view of the Peace Corps as an engine of the Cold War was not a view that Peace Corps volunteers in those years wanted it to be. And it's not what the president, in his message, one of the strongest things he said, says not to be part of the Cold War, not to do this because it's right and it's necessary and the world needs lifting up.
Harris Wofford, for you, what is the most important legacy, the one thing that JFK left behind?
I think the Peace Corps is the embodiment, the only embodiment of the ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And he had already set in motion the creating of a domestic Peace Corps, which became VISTA in the War on Poverty. And for you and me, at least, out of the Peace Corps world, I would say that the Peace Corps and then National Service as turning that ask not into reality are very great things that he did. And he went to Dallas happy because on both the track of civil rights and the track of our relationship with the world, because the day before the civil rights speech he had given in June this great speech at American University, trying to show the way out of the Cold War toward world peace and nuclear control.
Former Senator Harris Wofford was a special assistant to President Kennedy and served as the Peace Corps special representative to Africa. He was associate director of the Peace Corps base in Ethiopia when JFK was killed 50 years ago today. Harris Wofford, thank you so much.
Glad to talk to you.